You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. Today's show comes to you on Friday, March 27, as we wrap up another week of free agency and another week of the offseason in the NFL. A few minor signings to talk about for the Giants this week. Added a couple of players. They added wide receiver, kick returner Corey Coleman. They added running back Deion Lewis. Giants also added XFL cornerback Dravon Askew Henry, who happens to be a cousin of Darrell Revis. Just, you know, minor signings. This is what you get into at this point in free agency. Guys who might have a role, guys who could be useful, guys who provide depth in various places. I was glad to see the Giants bring back Corey Coleman, kick returner, wide receiver. And at this point, I'm not sure what Coleman will bring the Giants as a wide receiver. You know, he's been a little bit hit and miss throughout his career, been a bit of a disappointment as the 15th overall pick, you know, of the Cleveland Browns a few years back. But Coleman is still a guy who provides a lot of speed, you know, some playmaking ability. He's a guy who did a really, really good job in 2018 for the Giants as a kick returner. And that's a role where, or a spot where the Giants did kind of struggle last year. They went through a lot of guys. Corey Ballantyne did a good job for a little while. Then the Giants moved on from him, you know, when they started to use him more defensively. Cody Latimer is a guy who had some opportunities. Latimer now with the Washington Redskins. But, you know, kick return, even punt return, where Coleman, you know, was maybe, you know, going to get some opportunities late in the season in 2018. Those are areas where the Giants have really struggled to find one guy who could hold down those roles the last few seasons. Maybe Coleman can establish himself as the Giants' primary return man. Maybe he can add some playmaking ability with his speed, you know, as a fourth or fifth wide receiver. You have to have depth. You have to have, you know, guys who can fill specific roles for you. And maybe Coleman can do that for the Giants. He's still a guy with a lot of athleticism, a lot of speed. So I was happy to see him, you know, get an opportunity to come back and show, you know, whether or not he can help the Giants in the 2020 season. Deion Lewis, obviously a guy very familiar to head coach Joe Judge, you know, from their days together with the New England Patriots. A little bit older at this point. I believe this will be Lewis's age 30 season coming up. Maybe not the explosive player that he used to be. Still, though, a useful backup for Saquon Barkley, a guy who can catch passes, a guy who can block, you know, pass protect. If you check out the film study that Nick Filato did for us on Lewis, you see examples of his ability to pass protect. You see examples of how useful he can be, you know, as a receiving threat. So, you know, check that out if you haven't. But again, a useful signing. It's been kind of obvious for a while that the Giants have been down on Wayne Gallman. The Pat Shurmur coaching staff was down on Gallman. I'm not really sure why, but it seemed like they never really gave him, you know, a full-fledged opportunity. And it would appear, you know, with the signing of Lewis, it would appear that Gallman is not going to be a guy that the new Joe Judge coaching staff is going to lean on heavily either. So hopefully the Lewis signing, which was for 1 year, which, you know, that's a good idea. Just a short contract, not an expensive one. You know, give Barkley some rest and support, and add to the Giants' ability to pass protect for Daniel Jones in critical situations. That's something where Saquon Barkley, as great a player as he is, that's something where he struggled last year. So maybe in certain situations, Lewis can help in that area. The other signing, cornerback Dravon Askew-Henry. I really don't know anything about him. Again, our own Nick Filato did a film study that dropped on Thursday morning. Please check that out. A guy who has some ability to play in the slot, guy who has maybe some ability to play deep safety. He's done both of those things in the past. Guy who should compete in the slot for the Giants, you know, a spot where we know that they struggled mightily a year ago with Grant Haley, who's a terrific run defender, but a guy who struggles in coverage. And Corey Ballantyne playing there as a rookie, a guy who probably is a better outside corner, guy who had never played in the slot and often looked overmatched. I'd love to see the Giants actually give Corey Ballantyne an opportunity to get back out on the outside and compete for some time there, maybe as an extra defensive back in some situations, you know, maybe as the third corner, you know, to compete maybe with Sam Beal, you know, for time behind James Bradberry and DeAndre Baker, who will be your likely starters on the outside for the Giants. All right, Giants fans, you know, we know that as the Giants have tried to build their defense through free agency, a couple of the players that they signed came from the Green Bay Packers. That would be, you know, inside linebacker Blake Martinez and edge rusher Kyler Fackrell. I had an opportunity to speak with Evan Western of SB Nation's Acme Packing Company about what both of those guys might bring to the New York Giants. So let me play that interview for you now, and as we try to learn some things about two of the newest Giants. All right, Giants fans, I'm joined now by Evan Western of SB Nation's Acme Packing Company, which covers the Green Bay Packers. And I asked Evan to come on to talk about a couple of the free agents that the Giants recently signed, meaning linebacker Blake Martinez and edge defender Kyler Fackrell. Evan, thank you very much for spending some time.
Yeah, my pleasure. It was good hanging out with you a little bit in Indy, and always happy to talk current and former Packers.
There you go. You know, it's interesting. I think you and I and a couple of other SB Nation folks were in Indy, and weirdly, you know, we're working in this great big ballroom, and I didn't get to meet everybody, but it was nice to run into you and get to meet another SB Nation writer.
Yeah, same here. That's the networking piece of that event is always one of the best parts of it. So it's always a good time to get to know other people around the network.
We work in one of those weird, you know, weird environments where it's all internet-based and we know all the names, but we don't know the faces. So it's always nice to put a name to a face.
Definitely.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the free agents that the Giants signed, former Packers, and first let's talk a little bit about Blake Martinez. You know, Giants fans have been looking for linebacker help. They've been begging for linebacker help for years. It's been, you know, 30 some years now since the Giants have drafted a linebacker in the first round. The last one was Carl Banks, and I think that was 1983 or 84. So it's been a long, long time, you know, and the Giants have tried some free agents over the years, hit and miss. What are they getting in Blake Martinez? I know they're getting a guy, you know, with a lot of tackles. But is he really an impact defender, or are the tackles sort of a misleading number?
Yeah, I think with Martinez, what you have is a guy who he will clean up if the line in front of him does a good job keeping him clean. That's his best years and his best games in Green Bay have been when Kenny Clark, Mike Daniels, and some of those bigger guys up front have been occupying the blockers and allowing him to flow to the football. He's a fairly instinctive guy, especially in the run game. He does seem to read blocks well, to read to the ball carrier, but he does struggle a little bit shedding blocks and with some of his athleticism in pass protection. But you're getting a guy who, yeah, he's going to make a lot of sure tackles. He's not going to blow a lot of tackles. And he's got some pretty good blitzing ability as well, if that's something that the Giants plan to use him for. He's got some real good abilities as an interior blitzer coming off the A-gap. But I think the biggest area where you've got to worry about him a little bit is pass coverage, because that's been one of the spots where he's been picked on the last couple of years.
So is he a terrible pass defender, an adequate pass defender? What would you say, his ability level is in pass coverage?
I would put him somewhere in the below average category. His numbers this past year weren't great. He tends to not make a whole lot of plays on the football, but when he does get out in pass coverage, he's at least stopping guys for relatively short gains. But you get him matched up against an athletic tight end or a really athletic pass catching running back. We've seen him against like the likes of Christian McCaffrey in the last couple of years, Dalvin Cook. Those are the matchups where he's really going to struggle, is against those real athletic guys. I would say somewhere in that below average category. He's not going to absolutely kill your defense with that ability. The Packers still kept him on the field for all three downs. He played almost every snap the last three plus years. But it's not going to be something that's going to be a net positive, having him out there in pass coverage.
And as I listen to you say that, I can just I'm envisioning Giants fans, gnashing their teeth and going crazy and screaming about Dave Gettleman signing another inside linebacker who can't, cover anybody. And I just want to remind people, Blake Martinez is replacing Alec Ogletree, who not only couldn't cover anybody, but was the guy calling the Giants' defensive signals and couldn't even get himself lined up right half the time. it's got to be a net gain.
Yeah, and I will say this for Blake. He's a very intelligent guy, and he did the same thing. He called the signals for Mike Pettine's defense in Green Bay, and that's definitely an area, the communication aspect, where it should be a positive. He understands the schemes. He will understand what everybody's supposed to be doing on a given play. Stanford-educated guy. He's very intelligent. That shouldn't be an issue. What he does when he's on the field, once the ball is snapped, that may be a different story, but at least in terms of the communication aspect and getting people lined up, I would have no qualms about that whatsoever with him.
And are we looking at a guy, if you look at some of the advanced analytics, I think it was Sports Info Solutions that posted this number that I saw recently about the fact that his tackles are often made, something like 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, which isn't ideal, obviously, for an inside linebacker. Is that something we should be concerned about? Is that something that's been impacted, more by what happens in front of him, or is he really, what we would call a cleanup tackler?
Yeah, I think a big part of that has been the Packers' just general defensive philosophy is they play light. They always play light. Two, sometimes one down lineman Usually five or six defensive backs on basically every play. Their base defense last year was effectively a 2-3-6 with a hybrid safety playing linebacker at the other inside linebacker spot, as well as a slot corner. So the line has been light ever since Pettine arrived for the start of 2018, and I think that's at least partially responsible. I think if you are in a philosophy that puts more of a priority on stopping the run and allowing your line to occupy blockers and letting your linebackers flow to the football unimpeded, I think he's going to be better in that type of system.
Well, that's good news, because the Giants do spend a lot of capital, you know, obviously with having Leonard Williams on the franchise tag and using a first round pick on Dexter Lawrence a year ago. They spend a lot of capital on that down lineman group. So hopefully they can provide Martinez a little better cover.
Yeah, that would definitely be a positive for him, is playing behind a very solid defensive line for sure.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, "Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back." If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, "Everything okay in there?" "Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog."
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the other former Packer who the Giants signed. And this, you know, this was a one-year deal. I believe it was $4.6 million. And, you know, for edge rusher Kyler Fackrell. And for all intents and purposes, Fackrell takes the place of Marcus Golden, who signed a one-year deal a year ago with the Giants and had a really good season for New York, but is now a free agent and doesn't appear to be coming back. What's the deal with Kyler Fackrell? I mean, 10 or 10 and a half sacks in 2018, and then basically a bit player last year who had one sack. So what are the Giants getting here?
Yeah, you mentioned exactly the thing I wanted to point out was Fackrell's sort of flukish seeming year in 2018 in his third year. That year was that was the year before, obviously, the Packers invested heavily in the edge rusher position last offseason, signing Za'Darius and Preston Smith. So Fackrell's role was really scaled back for 2019. That's the first thing. In 2018, he was playing He essentially became the team's second starter at outside linebacker opposite Clay Matthews when Nick Perry basically was unavailable for the entire year. And in doing that, he played around 60% or so of the team's snaps, started about half of the games. The thing with Fackrell was his pressure rate was pretty low, and I think he got a very unsustainable number of sacks given the number of pressures that he had. I'm looking at Pro Football Reference right now. He had a total of 18 pass pressures recorded, and he had 10 and a half sacks. I mean, that's not a sustainable rate. He got pressure on the quarterback at a relatively similar rate in 2019. He just didn't have all the sacks to show for it for whatever reason. So I think that's more of just a regression for him. But the interesting thing with Fackrell, he came out of Utah State as an older player. I think he entered the NFL around 24 years old or so. And he was a fairly athletic, you know, movable guy, but he was a little on the lighter side. So it seemed like he was a little bit of an odd fit for the Packers at that edge rusher position. And it really took him a couple years to start to carve out a niche as a key reserve on that team. And then again, in 2018, he ended up having to take over a much bigger role out of necessity. But in this past season, he was essentially the third man in that outside linebacker rotation, ended up playing roughly 40% or so of the defensive snaps. And he's also been a key special teams player. I would just be hesitant looking at that 10.5 sack season to think that you're going to see a similar level of production from him if he's a full-time starter, just because of how, again, the pressure rate was low, but the number of sacks relative to the pressures was unsustainably high.
Sounds like you're telling us, you know, obviously I think you used the term flukish, you know, for that 10.5 sack season, you know, so it sounds like you're telling us that we should expect more like what we've seen or the numbers he put up in his other three seasons than what we saw in 2018. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think it's more realistic to expect something in the range of, you know, 4 to 6 sacks if he plays, you know, 75% of the snaps. I think that's more of a realistic range to look for from him.
Is he a guy who can drop and cover and do some of that if he needs to?
Yeah, it's actually interesting. That's actually one of the better parts of his game as an edge rusher. I feel like I also remember thinking back to early on in his career that he made a comment early on that he was actually felt very comfortable doing that, maybe even more so than rushing the passer in his first year or two with Green Bay. So that's definitely an area where he's got some ability and can definitely help out if those edge rushers are going to be dropping into coverage.
I find it interesting that Patrick Graham is now the Giants defensive coordinator. And the one really outstanding, you know, statistical year that Fackrell had came with Graham as his position coach. I mean, could this be a case of the Giants maybe, you know, just with Graham sort of trying to recreate what might have happened in Green Bay 2 years ago?
Yeah, that's entirely possible. And, you know, one of the things that we've seen in Green Bay over the last couple of years is guys who are ostensibly edge rushers also lining up kind of all over the formation, playing a little bit of inside linebacker, off ball linebacker, rushing from A gaps instead of, you know, off the tackle. And I think if you move him around a little bit, that probably gives him some different opportunities to maybe use some different moves and put some different skills to use. And that, if that's the way they're intending on using him, I think that would be a good plan for Fackrell, getting the most out of his skills.
Hey, before I let you go, I have to ask you, you know, about one other player, and that would be, you know, former Giant B.J. Goodson, who was picked up by Green Bay, you know, at the end of preseason a year ago. You know, played the year for the Packers. I think he may have technically been a starter, but I'm not sure he was actually on the field, you know, enough that, you know, was really playing starter snaps. And I did see that the Packers, you know, moved on from him. So I'm just curious what you guys got out of B.J. Goodson and why you let him go.
Yeah, I think Goodson played a solid role as the second off-ball linebacker on the rare occasions when the Packers did play more of a conventional 3-4 with those two inside linebackers. Again, with the way Petten likes to play, he really loves to put those safeties in that second linebacker spot. So guys like Raven Green and Ibrahim Campbell ended up being the players who ended up taking the most snaps there, but Goodson was on the field about 25% of the time or so. Certainly provided some good run support. I think that was the biggest thing that he brought to the team. And actually, you know, Packers fans were kind of gnashing our teeth a little bit during the NFC Championship game when the 49ers were running over, around, and through the defense consistently, trying to figure out why Goodson didn't get in the game sooner, because they clearly needed to find a way to stop the run, and that was one of the things that Goodson was excelling at during the season last year. So it's a little bit of a disappointment that maybe he didn't get a chance to get a little bit more playing time last year. Maybe some of that is due to his fairly late arrival in, towards the end of training camp. But I think, you know, he could certainly be a useful player for Cleveland. And again, I think he was just a victim of a defensive coordinator who really downplays run defense in favor of putting lighter, more athletic players on the field.
All right. Hey, appreciate your spending some time with me for dropping some knowledge on us about Blake Martinez and Kyler Fackrell. And, you know, Giants fans, I'm sure will be crossing their fingers and hoping for the best, especially when it comes to Martinez.
Yeah, definitely. And again, with these two guys, they're great locker room guys, great chemistry guys. I got a chance to talk to Martinez at the Combine several years ago. He's a great interview, and he's just a really good guy. So I'm sure Giants fans will take a liking to him off the field, and hopefully for you guys, he'll perform well for you on the field as well.
All right, Evan, thank you very, very much for spending some time with me. Take care, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Ed. Same to you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, Giants fans, that's our show for today. We thank you, as always, for listening, supporting Big Blue View Radio, supporting our website. We hope that you follow us on Instagram at @big_blue_view, on Twitter at Big Blue View. Hope that you check out our Facebook page on occasion as well. Also, you know, we hope that that everyone is staying safe out there in these very troubling, very dangerous times. We hope you're following the guidelines, doing everything that you can to keep you, your loved ones, and everyone around you safe and healthy. We're doing everything we can here at Big Blue View to keep you guys entertained, to keep everything as normal as possible. You know, at Big Blue View Radio and BigBlueView.com. So, you know, keep coming back. We'll keep providing you as much New York Giants content as we can. All right, Giants fans, take care, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.